Please turn with me now in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, you can find this on page 611. If you're using your Pew Bible this evening. So hear now the Word of God, Psalm 67. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Salah. That your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Salah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's once again bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for these words in Psalm 67. We pray that as we look at this psalm, that you would inscribe your truth upon our hearts. May you open our eyes and our ears and give us understanding. And Father, we do pray that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that it may think and speak clearly this evening. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we do pray. Amen. This psalm, Psalm 67, is a wonderful psalm of praise, praising God for his great mighty works of deliverance, his gracious provision, his righteous judgments, and his guidance of the nations. One commentator pointed out that if ever there was a psalm that really kind of encapsulated the covenant that God made with Abraham and the promises that he gave him, that he would be blessed, and through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, that this psalm kind of really touches upon it, and the gracious provision that God gives upon the earth through his people. And as we look at this psalm, the theme we'll be looking at this evening is that, really it's kind of an assurance and a promise that we're given that, in fact, all the earth will revere God for his gracious provision, that all the earth will revere God for his gracious provision. And we'll be looking at this in 3 points, dividing the psalm into 3 sections. First of all, verses 1 to 3, let God be praised for his gracious power. Secondly, verses 4 to 7, let God be praised for his righteous judgments. And lastly, let God be feared for his provision. So first of all, let God be praised for his gracious power. Now as this psalm opens up, after the title is given, we read the words, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. This verse is really closely resembles what we call the Aaronic blessing. It's one of the two that I bounce between, and the typical one that I give as a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And especially that second phrase that we find in Numbers 6:25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Very similar to this opening verse, that blessing that God instructed Aaron to give the people, pronouncing the Lord's name upon the people. That close covenantal relationship here established in God's gracious and saving work with his people. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. There's then in verse 2 kind of a following clause that why should God do this? This request, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. In verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. we learn in this connection, in this flow of ideas and thoughts here, is God's working in his people. It really shows his saving power and strength to the world. It displays to the world God's ability to deliver and save, his power to overcome his and our enemies. This was maybe more clearly seen in the days of old when the Israelite nation was fighting and taking the promised land and battling real physical national enemies as God would deliver them. The great deliverance that he gave his people spread throughout the world. The renown of it spread throughout the known world at that time. And we read as the people begin to go through the wilderness that and they begin approaching various cities and other nations that they've heard what God, their God has done for them, what their God did for the to the nation of Egypt in saving them. We may not be able to see it as clearly, but no less God's deliverance, his saving work in the lives and the hearts of his people today, proclaims to the world and spreads throughout the world his saving power. This, you know, now it's not so clear, but it's done through as we have opportunity to share with others what God has done for us and in us. And I think one of the comforting things in this opening section here is that all the ways in which God is working in our lives in various ways, the various challenges and struggles that he brings in, that we face, that he carries us through, the ways in which he has poured out his blessing upon us, the way in which he delivers us, the way in which he guides and directs us, is all for the purpose of praising his name. And it's not just with our mouth, but with our actions. And this praise isn't to remain localized in one community, but even here, the cry is, in verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God's works of deliverance, his gracious works of deliverance and his saving power displays to the world through his people that this is the true and living God and calls the world to praise and give thanks to him. What we see here in this request, this let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you, is given with a certainty. This will happen. You know, we look throughout the world today and we see where God's name may be praised a little bit more than in other parts of the world. But there will come a time when throughout the globe, there will not be a corner or a little spot on this world or in his created order where his name will not be praised. And he is bringing together through the work of Christ, through his Holy Spirit, people of every tribe, nation, and tongue. All the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples give you praise. God will be praised for his gracious power displayed in his saving mighty works. This brings us then to the second point. Let God be praised for his righteous judgments. We read in the next section, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Then once again, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Recently, over the past months, this has happened in few states, and I'm sure they're not the last ones this will probably happen in, but both Oregon and Pennsylvania had laws that were voted on and approved by the population of the states against gay marriage. But in each state, there is one solitary judge that has overturned the ruling of the entire state and said it's not lawful and this can't be done. And I know in the case of Pennsylvania that the governor has said he's not going to challenge it. He kind of sees it as a futile challenge. You know, these two judges, you know, two individuals making a decision for an entire population of people. And on the outside, I'm sure that it seems like, well, yes, they're trying to protect a particular group of their population, but there's obviously some political motivation behind their decisions. It's a hot topic. It's advantageous. It's going to look well on their resume that they stood up and took a stand. There's some other ulterior motives behind their judgments that they are making. Well, God doesn't have political affiliations. He doesn't have any political agendas. He doesn't have any. He doesn't show priority, or he doesn't show favoritism to people. He judges here in equity. It is his standard. It is his perfect standard that he judges by. And he is not swayed by any type of political agenda or ulterior motives. He simply does what is right. His judgments are good, and they can be trustworthy. And we read here, "Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." And at the opening of line in verse 4, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." This is a cause for celebration, a cause for joy. That here is a judge that judges righteously, that judges in equity, that has no ulterior motives or no bias, except his own perfect law. And his law is good and right. This other section, though, we might, in our society, kind of put a contrast between a judge versus someone maybe who lovingly guides and shepherds. It's kind of the imagery when we think of a judge, someone in their black robe standing there, just delivering a verdict. Something that's cold and calculated. But here, there's something, a gracious guidance here that is going on as well. So if you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. The word guidance there, you know, we have this, Scripture gives us a picture of God as the shepherd of his people. He's the great shepherd of his sheep. And it's a picture of God lovingly guiding and directing us. Jesus says he lays his life down for the sheep. He seeks after that one that is lost so that he can restore them back into the fold. There is a loving, gentle guidance there that is given to us in the imagery of a shepherd. This is contrasted with one of my professors when applying it to us as we're going through as I was going through seminary, of saying that God has called us to be under shepherds, not cowboys. You know, if you think of the difference between a shepherd and a cowboy, you know, you have the image of people on horseback with their whips or cattle prods, whipping the cattle into shape, getting them to go where they want to go. And the opposite end is a shepherd, a loving, gentle guide, directing his sheep where to go. We're not called to be cowboys, and God himself is not a cowboy in this sense. He is a shepherd. He guides us. He directs us. And the interesting thing there is it's not limited to just his people. This is what God is doing among the world. He's doing this among the nations. The nations are not on their own just doing whatever they want. They are following the will and the design of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And he is guiding and directing the nations upon the earth. Because of this, because God is a righteous judge, because he judges in equity, he shows no partiality, because he is a good shepherd leading and guiding us, this is a reason and a cause for celebration. Let the peoples or let the nations be glad and sing for joy is how this section starts. And then the same refrain that we had in verse 3, here in verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Again, this is kind of an assurance of things that are to come. God will be praised for his gracious judgments. He will be praised for his guidance. He will be praised for his equity and his righteousness. Again, it may not look like it now, but there will come a day when all the earth, every nation, tribe, and tongue will praise God for his gracious guidance and his judgments. This leads us to the last section of the psalm. Let God be feared for his provision. In verses 6 and 7, we read, "The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, speaking of his Father in heaven, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." We refer to this as God's common grace. It's a grace that he bestows to all mankind, regardless of whether or not they are his people or not. He gives rain to everyone. He gives food to everyone. He provides for all of humanity in this way. Doesn't lead to anyone's salvation, but it's to point us to the great provisions of God, His ability and His power to provide for the whole world. Billions of people. And God knows each and every one of us, and He provides for all of us. This acknowledgement here, that it's basically an acknowledgement that the source of every good gift that we receive in this life, every good thing, every blessing comes from the Lord. As James said in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. But as verse 6 says, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Speaking of the provision of God to provide our needs. These physical provisions point to what we really need and what we really need provided for us. He meets our physical needs, and it shows us that He is capable of meeting our true needs, our real needs, our spiritual needs. We need our sins forgiven. We need salvation. And He is able to deliver us. In our daily battles as Christians, as followers of Christ, as we struggle with sin and temptation, He is able to deliver us. He is able to provide the way of escape. He is able to hand us off and give us victory. All of these physical things that He has given us, the ways in which He has provided for us and poured out His blessings upon us, point us to the fact that He is able to meet the needs that we can't see. The needs that we don't understand are there, but He knows are there and is able to meet them without any trouble at all. Because of this great provision, although the world goes about in its day-to-day life, for the most part, not under aware or even acknowledging the hand of God and the great provision that He has given to us, yet there will come a day when everyone will have to acknowledge the great provision of God. He will have to acknowledge that throughout history, that it is the hand of God who has given humanity and sustained humanity. If He had left His sustaining hand for one millisecond, we would fall apart. We would cease to be. We would cease to exist. When Christ returns and finally shows everyone that the Word of God is true and the testimony He has given us is reliable, the whole world will have to acknowledge the great provisions of God in providing for His image bearers throughout time. And this will lead people to tremble before Him. It will bring to mind and clearly display the great power and ability and might of our God, that He is capable of sustaining and providing us throughout history, since time began. And the result of this is that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. As we contemplate how God has provided for us day in and day out, it should also give us that reverential fear for Him and gratitude and thankfulness that we are called to. That worshipful fear of thankfulness as we come into His presence, acknowledging all that He has given us. And so as we consider this psalm, Psalm 67, this first section shows us God's saving power, His ability to save. The second section shows us that God is a righteous judge who gently guides and directs all of us. And this third section shows us that as God is able to provide abundantly for our needs, He is able to meet our chief need of salvation. And the result of this is exuberant praise, rejoicing, the calling upon all peoples, all languages, tribes, and tongues to give their praise to God and to worship Him in that reverential fear that we are all called to bow before and worship our God. So the point of this psalm is a great promise that we have to look forward to, that regardless of any dips and valleys in our own personal life, regardless of any hardships that we as a people might face corporately, we know that all the earth will one day revere our God and will not be able to ignore His gracious provisions throughout history, chiefly the greatest provision, salvation that we have offered to us in Jesus Christ. So let us praise our God, praising Him for His gracious provision that He has poured out upon us. Amen. Our gracious God, we do thank You for the abundant provisions that You have given to us. You pour out Your grace abundantly upon us, supplying every need. And Lord, this meeting of our physical needs points us to the great provision that You have made in our salvation, providing the righteousness that we need to enter into Your holy presence, providing the sacrifice that must be made, the shedding of blood, to take away our sinfulness. We thank You, Lord, for the salvation that You have given to us, the great power of Your grace displayed in our salvation. We thank You, Lord, that You are a judge who judges with equity, and that You are our shepherd, not only of Your people, but of the whole world, and everything is transpiring according to Your design. May we, Lord, uphold You and praise You each day as we think upon and meditate upon the great blessings that You have poured out upon us. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.